Welcome to PJEFC's Pulpit Ministry, a ministry that is committed to the preaching of the Word to transform life.
Morning, PJEFC, and for those of you who join online, good morning to all of you. I have a confession to make first before I give the sermon. A few months ago, Pastor Jeremy, who is going on a sabbatical, Jeremy, if you're listening, Jeremy asked me to give a sermon on healing. I mean, to be honest, I didn't hear the word healing. I just would hear the word sermon. And I freaked out. It's like, no. My knee-jerk reaction was to say no. Sermon is one of the hardest things to do on earth. And, you know, I was just reminded that, I had to come out of my comfort zone. Healing is a very difficult subject matter, not only conceptually for me, but also personally. So instead of saying no, right, I find myself saying yes. And I regret it ever since. I said, did I say yes? You know. And then about 3 months ago, Justin, do you remember what you asked me 3 months ago? Of course not, but I do. Justin asked me, Auntie Hera, do you believe in healing? Aiyya, jalat, you know. So it's as if, you know, I mean, I gave Justin a very quick answer, Justin, if you remember. And I said, yes, of course, you know, of course God heals. But I know deep down, God is asking me to re-examine my understanding of healing. So Justin, thanks so much for being so insightful. You're a very insightful young man. You always ask very insightful questions. So our young man, everyone. And so Justin, we must yam cha together and talk about healing a bit more. Today, although I will begin to address and respond to your question on healing, I don't think I can answer it completely because I'm still work in progress. I'm still trying to make it out, what this healing is. So we yam cha, okay, and we talk a bit more because I would also love to hear about what you think about healing, Justin. I agree, my dear husband. My dear husband, I agree with you. I always agree with you most of the time. I don't know whether you remember, some time ago he analyzed, his analysis is that whoever that gets the topic to preach, the person of all needs to learn more about that topic. So he keep getting topic on love. So honey, you need to learn more about love. And I love you to bits. And I think I need to learn more about healing. So honey, the next time I do this to you, please know that I'm still in the process of learning healing from the fear of sharks. For those of you who do not know what I'm talking about, please go to my dear husband and he'll explain to you. Or my CG members who have been praying incessantly for today, thank you so much. You can explain this figure to whoever that, asks you about this personal joke. Will God heal me? Is the question I was asked to respond to this morning. I'd like to share with you a few things the Lord is teaching me about healing. As I said, I'm very much a work in progress when it comes to healing. I need a lot more healing from the Lord Jesus, and He's not done with me yet. What is the picture of healing that comes to your mind this morning? What is that picture? What is that image? Maybe you can think about it and have that in your mind or put it down in your phone as we go through the scripture reading this morning. So I have with me Annie, Eileen, and Justin who will read the scripture for us this morning.
Verses 1 to 6. Verse 1. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of God been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we consider him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed from our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. We all, like sheep, has gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
Reading from John 16, verse 33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world.
Job 16, verse 2. I have heard many things like these. You are miserable comforters, all of you. Job 42, verse 7. After the Lord had said these things to Job, he said to Eliphaz the Temanite, I'm angry with you and your two friends because you have not spoken the truth about me as my servant Job has. May God bless the reading of his word.
Thank you, everyone. Most recently, this is the picture that got stuck in my mind when I think about healing. I'm sure some of you love jigsaw puzzles. I know some of my friends in CG love jigsaw puzzles. And you would know that this game is getting more creative. Like, you know, having a 3D jigsaw puzzle like the one that you're seeing, the 3D abstract art, so difficult to do. What about this one? Do you know about stereogram? What is a stereogram? A stereogram is a very, very intelligent way of using 2D images to create a 3D visual illusion that is hidden behind the image that you see. So there is an image behind this. Do you see that? Somebody said yes. Besides Yifeng, the first person who can tell me next week, what is the hidden image, the 3D image behind this stereogram, will get a reward. So I'll leave this image with the comms, who will make it available to you, right, under the PJEFC announcement page. Yeah, and have a look at that, right? And you have to look at this 2D in a certain way to identify the hidden 3D image behind this stereogram. Okay, anyway, this is not the sermon, right? Okay, so we need to move on. You see, I'm getting all ahead of myself about, jigsaw puzzles. So, back to the picture that I was given when I was preparing this message. This picture is a whole bunch, a pile of jigsaw puzzle pieces yet to be completed into its picture. I'd like to share three things from this image that the Lord uses to teach me about healing. Bottom line, okay, if you forget everything today, bottom line, this is what I learned so far. I'm learning that healing is not as simple as I thought it was. It is a lot more complicated. Okay, lesson number one. Hera, refer to the picture given. Now, in jigsaw puzzles, it is essential to get every part of the picture right without repeatedly scrutinizing the picture. The puzzle will never be completed. So it is with healing. Sometimes, especially when I'm in pain, I focus only on part of the picture of healing, And maybe that's why so many times I don't get what healing is. I think usually when we use the word heal, we are referring to a recovery of a physical or emotional wound or sickness. Usually we expect a reduction of symptoms or even a complete removal of discomfort and pain. We often associate healing with the absence of pain or suffering. Now, while this is absolutely understandable, is this the picture of healing? Yes, that is certainly what healing is. But healing is not just about recovery from illness and reduction of distresses. What is the biblical picture of healing? I believe Isaiah 53, just read by Annie, has given us a clear picture of healing. Isaiah is considered by many biblical scholars as the most precious prophetic gem. Isaiah 53 is in the second half of the book Isaiah, commonly known as the book of consolation, the book of comfort. Not only comfort for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles, like in the case of the Ethiopian eunuch written in Acts chapter 8. Chapter 53 of Isaiah is the crux of this message of consolation. This message of hope is not just for someone in distress, not just for a particular people or nation, but for the whole humanity. Let's take a closer look at this picture of healing. The central verse for Isaiah 53 is verse 5. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. In Hebrew, the word healed is rapha. A few things to note about this word rapha. The equivalent in English includes to thoroughly mend, like stitching something. Repair, cure, make whole. The key is the word thorough and the word whole. Rapha indicates completeness. The picture of healing in Isaiah 53 refers not to only one aspect of healing, but every aspect of humanity that needs healing. Jesus did not merely bore our griefs, in verse 4, which in Hebrew means diseases or sickness. He also carried our sorrows and bore our iniquities, verse 5 and 6. The picture of healing is certainly not limited to physical healing, but the healing of the whole person. As Jesus demonstrated over and over again while he walked this earth, that his healing goes deeper than our exterior health. Like when Jesus told the paralytic man that his sin is forgiven when the man only asked to walk again. Or the lepers, or the woman with so many years of bleeding. Even in the account of raising Lazarus from the dead, Jesus gave each of them more than they asked. Jesus gave them complete healing. Jesus knew that what they need is more than physical restoration. What they need is reconciliation and restoration of their relationship with their God. Health is thought of in terms of wholeness and well-being, life, strength, and salvation. What modern man confines to the body, the Bible extends to the whole of man's being and relationships. It is only when man's being is whole and his relationships right can he be truly described as healthy. Second thing to note is that this word rapha is in the perfect tense. That is, already done. The future is being regarded as already past. Although, at the time Isaiah was written, Christ has yet to come. But the word Rapha is in a perfect tense. In other words, verse 5 can also be read as, with his wounds we are already healed. Healing, the thorough mending, the making whole has already been done. The picture of healing was already given. As Jesus would say at the cross years after this prophecy, it is finished. The wounds Jesus suffered at the cross has nullified once and for all the sting of our fallen nature. Even when our body decays and our mind fails, even when disease takes its toll on us, Rapha, by his wounds, we are no longer unwholesome. In Christ, there is wholeness even when we do not experience this in the here and now. Jesus said in John 16:33, as Eileen read, I have said these things to you so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. The picture of healing is already given. Thirdly, the word Rapha represents a passive voice. We are healed can also be read as healing was brought to us. We are healed not by our own doing, but by him who was wounded for us. Jesus came to bring us wholeness, something we cannot do on our own. It's not how much faith we have that make us whole. It is not how much we pray, how much we read the Bible, how much charity we do. All these are absolutely important, and we should aspire to do more as disciples of Christ, but none of these will make us whole. Only Jesus can, and he has done it at the cross. Not just for those who are with diseases and disabilities, but for all of us, whether we think we need healing or not. Isaiah 53, verse 6. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. We all need healing, brothers and sisters. We all need to be made whole. It is not physical ailment or mental health problem that makes us unwholesome. Our problem is far deeper than decaying flesh. Only in Christ can a decaying flesh have ultimate restoration, a dying world, the ultimate regeneration. Only in Christ can we be made whole. The biblical picture of healing is about complete healing. God's picture of healing is already given to us, and it's far more extravagant than my limited perspective. I'm learning that I need to recalibrate my perspective on healing. Will God heal me? The picture is already given. I need to look at the picture. My answer is yes, he definitely will. Lesson number 2. One piece at a time, Hera. For many who are fans of jigsaw puzzles, the process of putting the pieces together is the main reason, the main draw to this activity. During the whole process, frustrations, impatience, hair-tearing moments, you know, anticipation and satisfaction are all part and parcel of the experience, wouldn't you say, those fans? It is not in the instancy of the task that makes the jigsaw puzzle so exhilarating, but it is in the moment-to-moment anticipation as each piece comes together to complete the picture. Doing jigsaw puzzle takes time. You cannot hurry the process. So it is with healing. Healing, as in Rapha, is not a one-time event, a one-off experience, an instant restoration, but a lifetime in the making. I found this quote by a theologian very insightful. I learned so much from it. It says, Jesus does not burst upon the world all at once in sudden splendor of daring or achievement, dazzling all eyes and captivating all hearts. But he conforms to God's slow, silent law of growth. Jehovah's servant grow by a natural human growth. Isaiah 53, verse 2. He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. There are many things about the kingdom of God that does not correspond to the wisdom of men. When we talk about God, we expect a perfect-looking superhero-like figure, a being without flaws or weaknesses of being human. Jesus, who claimed to be the I Am, became a man who had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. Isaiah 53, verse 2. When we talk about a king, we expect pompous demonstration of every description that is royalty. In all its riches, glitters and splendors, don't we? Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. Matthew 8:20. Jesus was born in a manger and lived a lowly life in a lowly environment. When we talk about victory, we expect celebrations. Victory is about laughters and cheers. Jesus' victory was sealed in excruciating suffering and shame. Jesus could have come in a very different form. He didn't have to be born in the likeness of man. He didn't have to choose to live in poverty and obscurity. He didn't have to excruciatingly make his way down the Via Dolorosa to heal us, to restore us to wholeness. He could have done all these things in an instant, at a command of a word and a click of his fingers at a distance. But he did not. He did not, because the Bible tells us that though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man, and being found in a human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. The healing Jesus gives us was not achieved in an instant. It was a step-by-step process. Now, I know that many of us know this truth because many of us have been Christians for some time. We know that we are healed in Christ, but we are also painfully aware that we have this thorn that somehow keeps persisting and not going away no matter what we do. Many of us have prayed incessantly for a thorn to be removed, but only to find that it remains an ever-present and even an increasing source of distress. Maybe we're experiencing a chronic condition where treatment and relief are not so forthcoming. Or maybe we are grieving for our loved ones going through endless struggles and difficulties. Maybe we are yearning for a relationship to be reconciled, to be mended, but we don't seem to see any possibility of this happening. Now, I don't know what you're going through and what your thorn is this morning. What I do know is that in times when suffering is great, pain is chronic, and circumstances seem bleak, we desire relief. We need someone to understand what we are going through without justifying our pain. We need a space that can embrace us as we wrestle and doubt. We need an assurance that we are not alone despite how lonely we feel. Ultimately, we need hope. The word Rapha in Isaiah 53, verse 5, also means to comfort. Jesus is our comfort, for he identifies with every aspect of our pain. Isaiah 53:3 described Jesus as a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Jesus prayed three times the night before his crucifixion that the Father would take away the bitter cup of suffering at the cross, and who requested companionship from his disciples because his soul was sorrowful, even to death. Jesus, who at the cross shouted, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus was familiar with physical pain, emotional anguish, and the sense of being abandoned. The picture of healing is not the absence of pain and suffering. The picture of healing is not the absence of suffering and pain. Jesus knows what you and I are going through. He identifies with our situation. He wrestles with us. We are not alone. Our wounded healer is with us at every step of our journey of healing. Isaiah 53, verse 5, by his wounds we are healed. As my dear, dear mentor and friend once told me, in the darkest time of her life, Hera, it's Friday, but Sunday is coming. This is a picture of healing. Take one step at a time with Jesus. I don't know exactly what that step is for you, but I have no doubt the Lord Jesus is with you. This objective truth that Jesus is with us, stay true despite what our subjective experiences are. He stays true despite what we experience. Will God heal me? Yes, he definitely will, step by step. Third lesson. Every piece matters. In jigsaw puzzles, every piece matters, even every piece of the same color. Every piece of the puzzle is essential to make the whole picture. This is also true with biblical healing. Biblical healing, as in Rapha, is more than a personal experience, and hence more than a personal matter. Healing is communal. Our healing is affected by and affect others around us. I believe that when we are asked to love God and to love man, we are essentially asked to be agents of healing. Not just those with a gift of healing, not just those who is without problems, distress, or disorders, but every one of us, regardless of our circumstances or our state of being, all of us in Christ are called to bear witness for Christ and to represent the healer to all who need healing. All of us. As agents of healing, it is our responsibility that we represent the healer well, in that we ought to bear an accurate picture of what healing is and what healing is not. It is our responsibility to understand our role, that we are not the healer, and hence our role is not to determine what needs fixing and fix it the way we see fit. We are not the healer. We take instructions from the healer, not the other way around. We don't tell God what and how to heal. Very often, in our good intentions, I think it's always done in good intentions, we make promises on God's behalf that don't materialize. For example, if you pray hard enough, if you try harder, if you confess your sins or the sins of your forefathers, if you have enough faith, for example, don't take that medication. Have faith in God alone and God will heal you. But in many cases, the person instructed to do these is still suffering from the condition, or in some cases even succumbs to the condition. Is this scenario familiar to you? In such situations, inaccurate representations of healing can make people misperceive who God is and who we are as human beings in relation to this great God. Many people who are suffering do ask God for relief. It's so understandable. It's so human, isn't it? We do ask for relief. But when relief is not forthcoming, questions like these come to our minds. These questions are usually asked only in our minds, not shared with other people. Maybe because we don't want the repercussion of what others will think of us for asking such questions. But these questions are not uncommon when one is wrestling in darkness. There is nothing wrong in asking these questions, brothers and sisters, even for the most faithful Christians. These questions merely indicate that we are human. More importantly, God allows us to wrestle with suffering. Numerous biblical texts support this posture of God. We've already seen some this morning. The question is, as agents of healing, how would we respond to these questions? When we encounter someone suffering, we often feel the urgency, isn't it? And the compulsion, isn't it? To fix, solve the problem at hand, and provide an explanation or advice. All these are good, brothers and sisters. But we need to do more listening to provide understanding. We need to do more listening to provide safe space. Job's friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, Zophar, and Elihu listened to Job initially. They did a great job initially. Job's friends managed silence and tears of lament very well, but they were not good with Job's verbal lament. When Job started spewing his curses of being born, wanting to die and lamented about God, Job's friends reacted and began to judge and criticize Job in defense of God and of themselves. Their effort to comfort became futile, and Job called them miserable comforters, all of you. Job was not the only one having such an opinion. In later chapters, God turned to Eliphaz and said, I am angry with you and your two friends because you have not spoken the truth about me as my servant Job has. God allowed Job the safe space to wrestle, but Job's friends didn't. What would we say or do when someone who needs healing lament about his or her pain? How often do we find ourselves like Job's friends? Have we represented God well during such times? Would the Lord say, well done, my faithful agent of healing? Mystery is part of the picture of healing. Mystery is part of our experience of God. Sometimes in such situations when there is really nothing much that we can say, the ministry of presence is far more comforting than a ministry of words. I am very, very convicted that I need to be a better comforter, a much less miserable comforter. What is our theology of healing? What is our theology of God? We are all agents of healing. What we say and do affect another person's experience of healing. May the Lord teach us today how to encourage and build one another as He has asked us to. I want to share with you briefly about two beautiful ladies, Eileen, whom I just got to know a few months ago, and Annie, whom I knew for a very long time. I want to share with you because they inspired me in my walk of faith, but especially in my understanding of healing. Eileen lives with mental ill health. She lives with mental ill health almost on a daily basis. She gave me this book by Christy Wimber. The second time she met me, I only met her a few weeks ago, actually. Right, I'm so glad I met you, Eileen. Okay, she gave me this book. And talk about God wanting me to learn more about healing. That was just a few weeks ago. How wonderful is His work. So for those of you who want to know more about healing, I would recommend you to read what Eileen has given me. Anyone want to read that book, please come and borrow from me. I will gladly lend it to you. I've been so comforted by this book, and I learned a lot from this book. So thank you so much, Eileen, for giving it to me. And then recently, she also made me a card. Beautiful, isn't it? For those of you who can see, yeah. Beautiful. This is handmade, you know. And it's made by Eileen with these lovely words by Helen Keller. I am only one, but still I am one. I cannot do everything, but I still can do something. I will not refuse to do that something I can do. How true. Eileen, thanks for doing that something that the Lord put in your heart for me. This is the picture of healing in progress. Despite many years of chronic physical pain, partly due to her leg amputation that occurred so many years ago, her favorite verse remains, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." Even through tears and excruciating pain, I can see the joy in Annie. That is the shalom that only the Lord's healing can give. This is my favorite photo of Annie. You know why? You see the food around there? She always feeds us so generously, right? So our CG, very, very blessed one. You know, she always feeds us with these amazing goodies, right? So generously. Thank you, Annie. But on almost a daily basis, she also feeds our soul with lovely songs that she posts on our CG WhatsApp almost on a daily basis. Now, these ladies' circumstances have not changed, by the way. Their pain and suffering have not been removed completely. But we can all see that healing has certainly taken place. And the impact of their healing is not only personal, but communal. Annie and Eileen are an inspiration to me and many others. As they journey through their respective pain and suffering, they become agents of healing to many that cross their path, including me. Our personal journey of healing can have a tremendous impact on others around us. Don't undermine what our healer can do despite and through our pain. Just because you and I feel lousy about ourselves does not affect how God sees us and how He will use us. Move out of your comfort zone today. Don't KIV God, as Take Lim reminded us a few weeks ago. Will God heal me? Yes, definitely He will. Step by step, together with Him and with one another. May the Holy Spirit recalibrate and expand our picture of healing this morning. And may He open our eyes and hearts to receive this healing and be comforted as we review this picture every step of our journey. May He provide us agents of healing to journey alongside us. And may He convict our hearts this morning to be agents of healing for others. As the Lord Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen."
You have been listening to a sermon from PJEFC. We hope that you have been blessed by the message. For more sermons, please go to www.pjefc.org/sermons. Love God, love people, and make disciples.